Good evening to you, and welcome to the show, History and You, with George Rodriguez Walling.
Good evening, and welcome to History and You, the show where you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts, please do so at toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Please call me and tell me your views. If not, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find me at www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. Also, please remember to visit and support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the website as follow-ups to each and every program. Tonight's show is dedicated to two men who have given many of us good reasons to think about our spirituality, about the way we live our lives, and about how we treat one another, and about coming closer to God. The topic for this evening's show, why do we need spirituality? On September 25th, 2009, I woke up to go to work just like any other day, only to be informed by mid-morning that my father had passed away. The man who meant everything to me was no longer around. My father was larger than life, and if he can hear my words now to him, he would know how much I still love him and how much I miss him in my life. The man who took me from training wheels to adulthood and teaching me the ways of the world, who taught me the hardest lessons in life with the softest touch that only a loving father could give, was now suddenly gone. That's very hard to endure. It's very hard for anyone to endure. I can still remember him waving his last goodbye as I left the house the night before he died. The person who meant so much in filling my day was now nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard, nowhere to embrace any longer. If I could only see him one more time to thank him for so much and to tell him how much I miss him, would be the chance that I never chose to do enough when he was around. And that I'll have to live the rest of my life with. But regardless of my mistakes, I will see my father again. I do sense his presence, though. Within every sunrise I see him there. And in the hush of every sunset, his affection is there in celestial quiet. It is the gift of God that God has freely given to me to always remember his love until my moment comes to kiss him in gratitude. And there, I will see my father again. The passing of my father has made me think of earthly things, of worldly concerns, when asking, where did he go? And led to wonder about the transference of his existence, where his consciousness has gone, and where is the life I once knew. It's also made me think even harder about, I guess, my own mortality, especially when pondering at the fact that we're all visitors here for only a little while, to visit friends, to see events, to swim oceans, hike mountains, befriend animals, be awed by others, fly the earth, relish our food, live in interesting times, fulfill your ambitions, and finish your life with a good and loving spouse to share it all. In short, to live out a life on an earth of great and generous beauty, and be able to appreciate the wonder of it all. Because just as quickly, we're going to be taken someplace else. We're all renters who rent out a space and time to live out our lives until the rent expires and have to move again. And along the way, we get to own nothing. Nor do we take anything with us either when leaving. We check out just the same way we once checked in, naked, humbled, and vulnerable. Don't forget that. On October 19th, 2012, my father-in-law passed away. A good man by nature and spirit, I will always remember him for his sense of humor, his work ethic, his unyielding devotion to his wife, his quiet but steady love as a father, and his unconditional passion for his family. But what I will cherish most from this man, from whom no eulogy is enough, was that he was the first and only one to embrace me, to accept me unconditionally as a husband to his daughter, as a stepfather to his granddaughters, and as a step-grandfather to his great-grandchildren without any reservation. As I learned many things from my father, and I did, I also came to understand from my father-in-law the purpose of his many conversations and those trusted moments of family insights he shared only with me, as if to pass over the responsibility of looking out for his family. My beloved Noni, who was also the only one to leave me with a renewed appreciation of a worthwhile attraction, the beauty of a woman, the scent of her talent, and to never let me forget that a woman's shoulders are the front lines to a mystique. I too shall miss him. Where did he go? And where is he now? This was a good man. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with the need for spirituality.
BBSRadio.com. It's not mainstream. It could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. And the wind blows where it wills. Why do we need spirituality? Because we need to know that there is something more out there besides the tangible and the concrete that go beyond the physical laws that restrain us. And because we all need to believe that our existence, as limited as it is in this world, is not made in vain or made hollow. The unknown has a purpose not known to us now. But we are poised to be on a linear progression without choice for something else, something more that we need to get ready for. If for no other reason than to know that we only get older and older until we pass on to something else. The habits that we once shared with loved ones are now gone, and we must therefore redefine ourselves spiritually to prepare for what comes next. Our spirituality is the foundation from which we build today, and this foundation will serve as the very basis of our happiness in the existence to follow. Remember, no matter how hard we fight, no matter how much we question, we are left without choice. The difference among us in the way we view the world and the life we live in it is that some people are of this world. The atheists, the nihilists, the materialists, the existentialists, in short, the non-believers. And others that are not of this world. The just, the followers of truth, the humbled, the believers of mortality, and those who do reverence to their transcendental future. Why do we need spirituality? Because it's all about our survival and salvation. This is why human arrogance astounds me. This arrogance is fed by the ignorance of people not realizing or choosing not to think about how limited and how small we really are within the universality that surrounds us. Haven't you ever seen how small we are when taking an aerial view of an urban area? Haven't you ever been standing in front of an earthly wonder of majesty and beauty like the Alps, Angel Falls, Grand Canyon, or any volcanic site and felt yourself small and pale by comparison? Ever taken the time to see the insignificance of you as an alter ego, naked and prepackaged for death, with little reason for salvation and even less of a reason to give you hope? And yet, God sees, God forgives. I'd like to share some brief thoughts from an anonymous atheist who succumbs to the thought that there has to be some degree of believability in spirituality. The inevitable reality of fate forces every sound, rational, and logical mind to consider the validity and the significance of needing to have a spiritual sense about you as a vehicle for a new consciousness. It is a leap of faith, I know, to acquire a sense of spirituality. but one that the arrogant needs to think about incessantly. His thoughts are as follows, and I quote, "I may not be correct here. That's why I'm putting this up for discussion. But to me, art and music seem to be the result of some sort of spirituality. I don't necessarily mean spirituality as in theology or even as believing in a deity, but a sense of our own mortality and a search for meaning. I consider myself an atheist, at times even a nihilist. However, I feel that without some belief, any belief, the will to live disappears. It's almost as if the spirit, whatever that might be, isn't fed, the body dies. The mind is just a machine, the body on autopilot until the meaninglessness of it all kills." Unquote. Now, this came from an atheist who has come to the realization that there has to be something else, there has to be something more out there, and we don't think about it enough. We don't think about it as much as we should. And after you hear my words, and after this program is over, we all seem to go back to our routines and our habitual ways of thinking, almost as if, like Plato said, we crawl back and hide into our each and every routine cave that we all have. And we insulate ourselves in each of our own little cozy, quiet, insulated, protected caves. We all go back into that because we all need that in our lives. We all need to not think so much, not risk so much about things that we really don't know. And I'm telling you that you have to get out of your cave and you have to think and risk what you need to know about. Because what you are thinking about, what is going to happen, will happen. And you will not always have this protective cave about you to hide and seek protection from the inevitability of fate and life. The inevitability of spirituality having to come to you. Faith is difficult to understand. I know. And to have faith in something is hard. It stretches the human spirit. It stretches you beyond what you think is possible. It makes you jump into something that you're not familiar with. And if you don't understand it, we keep away from it. It's almost like that exercise where you close your eyes and you allow yourself to fall back and let a very good friend of yours catch you about 6 inches off of the floor. Before you're about to snap your neck, your friend catches you. You got to have faith. You got to have that kind of faith to know that no matter how close to being a paraplegic, your friend is going to be there to catch you. Let me try at this point to describe for you, to define for you, to conceptualize for you what faith is. To have faith in God, and God, of course, assuming that it's a presence, an energy force, an entity of some sort. So to have faith in God is to bring your entire being, that is your entire body, mind, and soul, to trust in the very thought of whatever is making you feel good about what it is you want to trust, be it God or a similar spiritual desire, which in turn makes you want to be more than what binds you to earthly conditions. Let me repeat this for you one more time, just so that you can understand what I'm trying to say here. To have faith in God is to bring your entire being, body, mind, and soul, to trust in the very thought of whatever is making you feel good about what it is you want to trust in, be it God or a similar spiritual desire, which in turn will make you want to be more than what binds you, what restrains you, what limits you or holds you down to earthly conditions. So you want to almost have an out-of-body experience within your own power and within your own will to do so and to make it happen. If there is a willingness to believe, then put your trust in your faith for your insight to grow, and it will. But there is something that I have to alert you to. As your faith and your insight grows, be aware that being spiritual can mean a growth in the power of your mind as well. And it is here where evil can also reside. It is here where evil can also live. Let me explain something to you that's very important about the mind. The mind can be a repository for evil because the mind is objective, because the mind calculates, because it divides, it separates, it estimates what yours and what is not yours. It tells you what is yours, what belongs to you, and what does not belong to you, what you need to covet, and what you can do without. The mind assesses division, folks. That is to say, the mind estimates the value of what you want to divide. The good, on the other hand, lives in the heart. The good resides in the heart, where it desires no division, but only a unification of all parts. The heart is inclusive to the world. The mind discriminates the world through divisive mechanisms that classify its people into useful and useless parts, parsimoniously. And the soul is the energy life force that drives the person to do good or to do evil. To do good, the heart must rule. If one wishes to find a spirituality that aspires you to be closer to God, there can be no conflict with the mind. So often, we are plagued with conflict between what the mind dictates and what the heart feels. But it is our faith, that is to say, our trust in our godly spirituality, that shows us the right and moral thing to do. And how do we come to know whether we've done the right thing? We've come to know because of how we come to feel after doing what we did. A good deed will always make us feel right and good and fulfilled about what it is we did or did not do, and with long-lasting effects as well. We're going to feel good about what we did, assuming it's a good deed, for a long time. And it's going to be embedded in our memory, remembering that we did something good for someone else. An evil deed will only leave you content, will only leave you short-lived and unfulfilled. Always feeling hungry for evil deeds and never to be satisfied, the evil person expresses an infinite need of revenge for being born. Let us take another quick break, and we'll be right back with the need for spirituality.
Hey, everybody, this is your new friend, Julio, and I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girls.
Okay, we're back. So, how can we know when we've reached a desired spirituality? Well, when you begin to see God in other people and other things, like in animals, the environment, and man-made situations. When you get to see the goodness of people manifested through actions, you'll also find the presence of God there. But you must trust in your faith to take you there and see it for yourself. A very well-respected spiritual teacher from India, Sri Shamoy, offers great insight into the issue of spirituality, which I wanted to bring in and share with all of you, and the condition that often separates man from God. Chamoy makes an interesting observation when he states the following idea, and I want to read it for you, and I quote, "The cause of this separation, that is, the separation of God and man, is ignorance. Unfortunately, individuals feel that by maintaining their individuality and personality, they can be happy. But that's wrong. Only by entering into universality can we be happy. Individuality and personality will derive satisfaction only from universality. A tiny drop, when it enters into the ocean and loses its individuality and personality, becomes what the infinite ocean is. But before that, if it fights for its own individual existence, what can it do as just a tiny drop? So it is the ignorance in the drop that makes the drop feel that it can be satisfied by maintaining a sense of separateness, which is absurd. Unquote. So Sri Shamoy tells us that if our sense of wanting to maintain and hold on to earthly things is like us being a drop, what can we represent when compared to the water in an ocean? We are indeed so small and so insignificant, and yet God is the universality that surrounds us all. So it's when we think in separate components and not in a united form that we become ignorant in faith and evil in deeds, just like the drop. But the taller question is, how long does the trust in our faith last? Well, Shamoy also has something to say about that. And I want to share it with you as well. Quote, while we are praying at home, he says, we see and feel that God is ours. But the moment we come out of our house and look around at others, we do not try to see God inside them. What we try to see in them is imperfection, something unlike ourselves. After our meditation with God, that is, we come out of the heart and enter into the mind. Then we try to separate ourselves from others, and we see others as undivine. But when we come out into the world, if we can bring with us the divinity we saw and felt during our meditation at home with God, and if we try to see the same divinity in others, then there is no feeling of separation. And if we see the same thing in others, which we feel inside ourselves, then we shall never miss God's presence. We shall never lose our feeling of oneness with God. Unquote. And this is so true in relation to even when the Bible talks about stop looking at the plank, or rather stop looking at the speck in your neighbor's eye and look at the plank in your own. And it's so true when we go out and look at other people and compare other people, and we see ourselves without any fault, without any blame, without any blemish, without any weakness, without anything, and yet we are so busy, forever busy, looking at the fault of other people and feeling ourselves to be so much more superior than ours. This is not thinking godlike. This is not spirituality. This is not what it's about. This is not what it was ever intended to be. Spirituality is when you begin to meditate and begin to unite yourself with thinking godlike, with thinking as if we are the same within the one. So for spirituality to have any meaning for us, it is important to ground our belief in God and the trust we have in our faith on the premise of understanding why we choose to believe, and then connect that belief to the existence of God. And to take us to this level of understanding, I've chosen two excerpts from Saint Anselm. His ontological argument, which is an argument in nickel and dime language of existence, entitled Proving the Existence of God. Let me give you some quick background into who Saint Anselm was. Saint Anselm was a famous cleric who in the year 1033 AD joined the Benedictine order and eventually became Archbishop of Canterbury, where he died in the year 1109 AD. Famous in the history of thought for arguing in favor of the existence of God, Saint Anselm was convinced that faith and reason led to the same conclusions. And this is bizarre when you think about it, because faith and reason has always been depicted as the separation of church and state, the separation of church, belief, and reality altogether. Reason has no rationality at all to blend or gel in any way with what the atheist is constantly preoccupied with. The absurdity of having faith, the absurdity of believing in whatever your senses cannot ever come around to verifying. And this man, Saint Anselm, spelled A-N-S-E-L-M, in case you're curious, decided to blend. He was convinced that faith and reason can both lead to the same conclusion in establishing the believability, in establishing the credibility, in short, the existence of God. Even more astounding, Anselm believed that human reason alone, and this is quite bizarre for the time period, okay, the 11th century here. Anselm believed that human reason alone could create a natural theology that is rationally coherent and does not depend on any authority other than rationality. So, in other words, you can, on a rational basis, invent your own reason for believing in God. You can come up with your own rationality to establish a premise for validating your faith and validating the existence of God. Still, in other words, what Anselm is telling us is that we can believe in the existence of God based on reason, but it would be our reason, ours, and ours alone, and not the church's reason for believing in God. Now, whether this makes us Catholics, I don't know. Whether this makes us good Catholics or bad Catholics or Protestants or Christians or something, that I'm not sure. But does it bring us closer to a sense of spirituality? I would think so. If we are then allowed to reason for ourselves regarding the existence of God, then it also must presuppose our need for spirituality as a means of reaching God as well. In fact, Anselm goes on to say, and I quote, he being man, was not trying to discover the truth about God through reason alone, but wanted rather to employ reason in order to understand what he was believing. Unquote. So how does Anselm employ reason to logically understand how reason explains infinite existence? Well, Anselm proceeds in a rather dazzling display of logic when he argues. And this is very important to listen to, because a man from the 11th century to be saying such things, be it not that he was a cleric, could be interpreted as blasphemous. And people at that time were burned alive at the stake. So he says, and I quote, "Everything that exists, exists either through something or nothing." Obviously, it cannot come out of nothing. The only remaining alternative, then, is to say that a thing is caused either by something else or by itself. It cannot be caused by itself because before it came to be, it was nothing. To say that it was caused by something else could mean that things cause each other, which is also absurd. There must therefore be one thing that alone is from itself, and that causes all other things to be, and this is God. Since everything comes from something previous, and because nothing can come from nothing, there must therefore be a point of origin, an original source from which all things spring forward. This source has to be God, arrived at by the employment of reason in trying to understand man's need to be spiritual in order to believe in his trust for having faith as a measure of reaching God. There has to be a point of origin. There has to be something that stands alone. And these are spiritual reasons to think about in preparing yourself for the journey that we must all take. All of us, no matter at what age, no matter under what conditions, no matter at what of the most unexpected moments, no matter what, that journey will come to you. That moment will knock on your door. And so I say to all of you, everyone who is listening, please hear my words when I say that spirituality matters. It matters because it does give sight to those who wish to see, and because it blinds those that see in the world, because it prepares us for the journey we must all take, and because it allows us to better understand the purpose of our mortality in doing all we can to help one another accept our inevitable fate. And now, we've come to the final part of our show, where I do wish to leave you, all of you, with a final thought to consider, and a final thought to further reflect regarding the signs of our time, a time of atheists like never before, a time not to think about God, a God not to think about the universality that surrounds us, that inundates us, a time where spirituality practically has no place, no place at all, a time where the material and the here and the now And the things that we can verify from what we touch, from what we see, from what we hear, from what we taste, it is a time when our senses in relation to the physicality of the world matters most. Never has my voice is trying to scream out in a desert of materialism that surrounds us all. Never has there been a need to listen to the message that I wish to leave all of you with. Why do we need spirituality? Why do we need the air to breathe? Without it, we die. Being spiritual allows you to see what so many faithless ones have been denied to experience. Many of us are so caught up in the ignorance of our arrogance that it disallows people from achieving a greater and more fulfilling view of ourselves through the actions of our faith. Always remember, the matters of the heart are more important than the issues of the mind. The more you think about your existence, the more your arrogance is attempting to rationalize God. Instead, let the sentiments of the heart embrace and accept your life for what it has been and is becoming through an increasing strength of your faith, which will only nourish your soul to come closer to God. Express kindness, and kindness will come back to you. Learn to let go of the physical world around you, for these are only things that last for a little while and then break down, deteriorate, and blow away. Don't rely on the physicality of the world that feeds and tantalizes your senses, for these stimulations only create a greater dependency on material obsessions that pull you away from God. You were not placed in the world. Instead, the world and its matrix was placed around you to mold you and to mature you, to determine the quality and caliber of the kind of faith you can aspire to have, and to enrich your appreciation of God's view of the world through your own spirituality. My faith tells me I will see my Father again, because I believe in my faith, and because I've come to trust that my faith in God will never betray me. Therefore, I will see him again. I will talk with him, and I will laugh with him once more. Your spirituality is the baptism of your new life, and it will laugh at the face of adversity whenever moments in your life get tough, because your faith in God will always stand by you, never to leave you, always to strengthen you, always to love you. Please join me again next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for another hour of insights by visiting my website, at bbsradio.com/historyandyou. And also, please support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the webpage as follow-ups to each and every program. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling, wishing for all of you a very, very pleasant evening. Good night.